This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we have Christine Ng, Director and Founding CEO of PeopleLender Sundaram Berhad, a company that fully owns and manages Fundestic. Fundestic is a recognised market operator registered by the Securities Commission of Malaysia to operate a peer-to-peer financing platform. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Joyce. It's always a great pleasure to be back at The Grill again.
Good. Well, in November 2016, PeopleLender Sundaram Berhad was one of the six companies out of 50 applicants to receive the license to operate P2P financing in the country registered with SC. Fundestic eventually went live in July 2017, with the SME market being your main target. Being one of the earliest P2P companies here in Malaysia, talk to us about the Malaysia's P2P landscape. What's the state of play for the P2Ps here?
Currently, most of the platforms have already gone live between 1.5 to even close to 2 years now. And I think the landscape on what we have been experiencing in the last 2 years have been nothing short of promising. Because if you look at the report card that we presented during the SC by SC in November 2018 last year, as at October, we hit disbursements of close to 160 million. Okay. And compared to a year before, when we were just 1 year old, it was just 17 million. So you can see that the growth is exponential, and we are looking at continuous exponential growth, from now until perhaps the next 2 to 3 years before it becomes double-digit growth. And we see the huge potential because the awareness is growing and the trust and acceptance is also growing because I think the early adopters are sharing with their friends and families of how they are actually using this very viable alternative investment vehicle to enhance their personal wealth and at the same time be helping SMEs in the country grow. Because 98% or 90-odd percent of the businesses in the countries are made up of SMEs. Mm-hmm. And if they face difficulty in terms of debt financing, the economy will not grow. So when we put power to the people per se, and small-time investors are able to, like via our own platform, Fundestic, invest with just as little as 50 ringgit, yeah, they would be able to little by little grow their wealth and at the same time be able to help many SMEs build their businesses.
Well, the platform enables issuers to access easy financing through an online application process.
Yes.
Well, investors are able to provide funds to multiple investment notes in exchange for returns of investment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fundestic says that the Malaysian SMEs and startups can receive up to 200,000 ringgit of working capital financing without providing any collateral.
Yes, it's totally clean.
At the same time, with a minimum investment of only 50 ringgit, investors can also earn returns up to 23% in effective interest rates per annum.
Yeah.
So all this is well and good if everything's going good, right?
Yeah.
But how can you ensure that there's no impaired loan bubble forming when people cannot pay back their loans and a bubble forms? That can be dangerous when the bubble bursts.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a very pertinent question that you've asked. And for us, we take a real thorough due diligence in terms of hosting the notes week on week. You know, even though application is fully online and it's able to be given an answer within just 10 minutes, we have a small team that still eyeballs each and every application to look for false negatives and false positives. And therefore, our rejection rate still stands at close to 70%.
70.
So only 30% of the notes that are applied for gets hosted on a weekly basis. and then it leaves to the crowd to decide. And you are totally correct that if the impairment or the NPL or default rates keep rising, not only the issuers will be impacted, the investors will be impacted as well. Mm-hmm. So how do we ensure that the issuers would pay back? First of all, we have a very comprehensive collections process whereby even before the due date, we already send SMS and remind us to the issuers. And on due date itself, if payment is not received, calls will begin already. And if they do not still answer to us or are incooperative, we would actually send their payment behavior, be it good or bad, to the credit bureaus. And all the banks uses the reports of the credit bureaus. Mm-hmm. So there's no such thing as, okay, I just borrowed 20,000 from Fundastic. I can run away with it because with 20,000, you can't bankrupt me. Okay. But your bad credit behavior would be listed in one of the three bureaus at least. And when the banks pick that up, you as an issuer would have difficulty in getting further debt financing later on to grow your business. So it is just not worthwhile to decide that, okay, it's alternative funding, I can run away with it. Yeah. And for the investors, we always tell them, why do we have a low entry barrier of 50 ringgit? It's so that you are able to build portfolios big and fast in to mitigate your risk. If you have a portfolio of 100 notes, yeah, it takes as little as just 5,000 ringgit and you can build this portfolio within 2 to 3 months. And when you have a portfolio of 100 different diverse notes made up by many different SMEs, you have resilience in terms of the defaults. Currently, our default rate just hovers slightly above 2%.
I was just going to ask you.
Yeah, and we are totally transparent about it. You know, we are the only platform.
When you say 2%, so but what becomes a default when they don't pay in the first month or after? What's the time frame like?
Okay, again, that's a very good question. Currently, there isn't a in the SE guidelines, they have not set a standard.
Yeah, but for Fundastic.
Yeah, so for us, we classified earlier. We classified as 2 consecutive months of non-repayments, whereas the entire industry classifies it as 3 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the banks classify as 3 months. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we are actually toying around with the idea of moving the classification to be industry standard with the banks as well, which is 3 months of consecutive non-repayments.
Okay. Yeah. But see, from your experience, for your case, you say 2 months. I think if the stricter you are is better when it comes to loans and all that. But 2 months, consecutive 2 months, after which, how many of them become good loans again? How many of them end up paying back again? Or do they end up just walking away and not repaying?
Okay, currently we see that some of them, about 30% of them, do come back to pay either the whole 2 months or 1 month to be reclassified back as normal, mm-hmm. yeah, or just late 1 month. Yes, about 30% of them do. But there are a few that we have done subsequent site visit and find that the business have ceased operations. Mm. So we have gone to pursue legal actions permissible by the laws. And this allows all the way to bankruptcy if the amount is per the whatever guidelines that are set by the laws.
How much is that value that hasn't been paid back to you guys?
Currently, it is close to, let me just get a buzz of the statistics, yeah.
Okay, while you check.
Yeah.
Also, another question I have is, earlier you mentioned that you guys can give an answer to borrowers within 10 minutes. That's quite fast. But then again, you claim that you guys have the company has a real thorough due diligence process. 10 minutes is so fast. How thorough is that?
Okay, let me get back to you with the amount and default first. Yeah. Currently, it's hovering about just 1 million. Okay. Yeah, and that is against the amount that has been disbursed or funded at 36 million.
All right.
So this makes the default percentage at about 2.88, yeah. Mm. But the interesting thing is the amount that has already been repaid to the platform, that means investors investors got back their monies, yeah, it's 10 million. Yeah, so that means the amount in default against the amount in disbursed as well as the amount that has been received by the investors is still relatively small. And from day one, we have been very clear and transparent to say that we are targeting the micro, small and startups, of which definitely have higher risk as compared to those that are already receiving financing from the banking industry and even our competitors per se. So we were looking at a default rate of anything between 5 to 8%, and we are still currently very well within our expected or projected default rates. Now, on the question on due diligence, how are we able to do in 10 minutes giving a yes or no, and yet we do a due diligence, right? The thing is that we are piped directly to two of the credit bureaus, yeah, and therefore we are able to use the system with built-in algorithms to decide on whether preliminary the application can be accepted or not. Yeah, because the beauty about Malaysia is we have very rich bureau data, especially the CCRIS data. And us being ex-bankers, we have looked at CCRIS's all our lives, and we know certain patterns which would actually determine good credit behavior or not. So that can actually be inbuilt into the system, and that is why we are able to do a straight through of 10 minutes. However, certain things that the system can pick up, the human eye might be able to pick up better. Yeah, and that's where the judgmental bit comes into play. Like, for example, you might be a very good credit master, but in the last few months, I see you building up on that. You could be applying for new credit cards. You could be applying for new housing loan, new car loans all of a sudden, you know, and that are triggers that you can't build into the system and where human intervention would come in. And that's where, even though we give a yes or no in 10 minutes, yeah, but after that, there is still a process to scrutinize that, and it may take a day or two.
Okay. Yeah. I'm speaking to Christine Ng, Director and Founding CEO of PeopleLender Sundaram Berhad, a company that fully owns and manages Fundtastic. After this, we'll talk more about the P2P platform. So stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, and my guest today is Christine Ng, Director and Founding CEO of PeopleLender Sundaram Berhad, a company that fully owns and manages Fundtastic. Christine, now let's talk about your market share here in the P2P platform. As of October 2018, Fundtastic had successfully disbursed close to 27 million ringgit in funding to more than 300 SMEs. This is still far from your targeted disbursements of 40 million ringgit, though, for 2018.
Yeah.
What happened?
Okay, that's again a very good question that you've asked. We ended the year 2018 slightly above 35 million, but we were able to hit the numbers of SMEs to be dispersed to, which exceeded 400. Yeah, and we were looking at a what do you call an average funding size of about 100,000. But at the end of the day, because I guess being more prudent and ex-bankers at that, we ended up dispersing to slightly smaller SMEs, whereby our average was just 90,000, and that's why the 5 million shortfall. However, in terms of numbers, we more than made up, and if you look at the market share position, the P2P industry is pretty interesting. So it depends if you ask who as to who is the market leader. If you look at the amount of funding disbursed, definitely our competitor funding societies would be leading the market with a lion's share. However, in terms of the number of SMEs or the different SMEs that has been hosted, Fundtastic definitely takes the lion's share. We have more than about 80% market share on that. And I think that is very important, because it allows the investors to truly diversify, because every node that they invest in means that it is a new SME that they are investing in, and it is not recycling of SMEs coming in at different point in time and building up their debt financing with the particular platform.
Well, I understand that you have you're looking to triple your target in 2019 in this new year with a total disbursement of 120 million ringgit. Isn't that quite lofty targets though, given that you've missed your 2018 target?
Well, definitely it's very aggressive targets. But if you look at the potential of the industry, I've shared earlier that in November 2017, the entire industry only did 17 million. Mm-hmm. And as of October 2018, the entire industry, including us, moved to about 160 million. And I think in 2018, the entire industry ended easily with 200 or perhaps even 220 million. And therefore, the growth, it is almost 10 times. And I think ours targeting about 3 to 4 times growth is totally possible. Furthermore, in last year, we successfully did a Series A with PitchIn, and therefore we've grown in terms of our paid up capital, and we are in the midst of building our team to be bigger, to be able to serve the SMEs better, find more SMEs, more viable SMEs quicker, and therefore we are looking at the possibility of hosting anything between 15 to 30 nodes a week as we build the year. And the targets, though aggressive, it's very important, because if we hit the targets, I always like to be in the P2P industry, and it's very passionate for me to mention this, because the moment we hit the targets, it actually means that we've helped a lot of SMEs grow. And if our default rates remain at the rate that we are currently, it would mean that the many, many investors who are predominantly young people would have successfully built a journey or built their small nest egg. Yeah. And it's very altruistic to be able to see everything fall into place as we hit targets.
Yeah, but the default rate is not, I mean, it's definitely linked to the current economic climate, right?
Yeah.
So it's quite subjective, you know, because it can fluctuate as the economy fluctuates as well. So the returns are not guaranteed, and the default rates could spike, resulting in the loss rather than advertised gains.
Correct.
Your comments on this?
Yeah, definitely what you say is very true. And that is why we will stay true to our target segment of the micro, small and startups. Because even though the economy currently there's much uncertainty, but this segment forms 80% of the entire SME segment. So there's strength in numbers. Yeah. I always give an example that when let's say a tsunami happens, it's the bigger fishes that would be impacted. So the large corporates would be the ones that would be having a bigger degree of challenge in terms of economic uncertainty, because of the cost that's involved, the ability or the flexibility of them to be able to adapt. But smaller SMEs, we've seen through our banking years that they are very resilient. And because there are many, many, many small SMEs, one fails, it does not mean that the other will fail. And even if 100 fail, there is still 1,000 that we can target. And as long as we continue on our strict processes, I believe that the default rate would still be very much between the 5 to 8 that I've mentioned.
Well, looking at expansion plans, you have, I understand the company has collaborations with banks such as OCBC, because your founder, Jeffrey Chu, he was the CEO for OCBC Malaysia at a time. And you also have plans to go offshore, looking to go into ASEAN and beyond in the near future. But is this viable though? Because the map of P2P lenders in the region show that there are a number of already established players in the market, and that is expected to grow. How are you guys going to compete?
Well, if you look at the market size of ASEAN, I think the potential hasn't been realized yet. And we find competition competition focusing mainly on either Malaysia, Singapore or Indonesia. There are other countries that makes up ASEAN and even beyond, like the Pacific Rim. Yeah, so we are looking at markets whereby I think where there are similar needs in terms of financial inclusion, where we can add value. And we are not rushing into things, yeah. We believe that we need to make sure that the model that we have in place is pretty stable before we bring it abroad.
In Malaysia.
Yeah.
So when will it be considered stable?
I think looking at our average loan or the financing tenor being about 29 to 30 months.
Which some say is quite long.
Yeah, it is actually. Mm. But I actually always ask the investors to think who they are actually investing in. They are investing in SMEs, yeah. And typically to pay 100, 150,000 in 3 years, it's not easy. If you go to the banks, it's not that banks don't want to do short-term financing. Mm. It's because the banks are also worried about the ability of the SMEs to repay in such short period. Mm-hmm. Because the number one killer of SME funding, besides fraud, which is totally non-tolerance,
it's cash flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So therefore, a longer tenor actually means safer because the SME knows how to manage the cash flow and they would be paying in smaller amount each month and therefore would be able to be less tight in the event there are any economic uncertainty.
What are your interest rates like?
The interest rates are based on risk, and it is anything ranging from a flat rate of about 8% to a maximum of 13.38%. Yeah.
And your returns, your average return rate?
The returns for investors? The returns would be the same. We only charge a 1% fee.
Oh, you charge a 1% fee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are still the lowest in town, but and we take the first cost of defaults. So that is why we might be looking at rationalizing our fees, but not in the near future. Yeah, but definitely that those are the things that we need to look into to run a viable business. Yeah,
rationalize your fee. You're looking at until how much?
Perhaps just another 1% more.
So 2%.
Yeah, perhaps 2%. Because
and when
that's
will that happen?
Perhaps at least not within this quarter. Yeah, yeah.
Are you profitable yet?
We aren't, yeah. We are looking at breaking even this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is why there are many exciting things that we are looking into. And one of the very promising thing that we are, or feature that we are looking into, is the secondary market, whereby, as you've mentioned, quite a number of investors are concerned that the tenor of the funding is quite long, you know. I've committed to 3 years, but I don't know. I might need the money next year, you know. A lot of things are unforeseeable. So with the secondary market, it allows the investor to be able to put the notes that they have to be traded on Fundestic itself, to be bought by other Fundestic investors who find affinity in that particular note.
Yeah. And this will be regulated by the SC, the secondary
market? Definitely, yeah. So that is why we are actually ready. But being a compliant player, we are waiting for SC to come up with the official guidelines to map against the compliance before we can roll out.
And you think that will happen this year?
SC has given a verbal promise that they are working very, very hard on it. So we are hoping to see it come alive this year itself, perhaps within the first quarter even.
For the whole P2P platform?
Yeah. So all the P2P players would need to be, if they are interested in setting up the secondary market, would need to be in compliance with these guidelines that the SC is working very hard on currently.
Okay. Yeah. I've been speaking to Christine Ng, Director and Founding CEO of PeopleLender Sundaram Berhad, a company that fully owns and manages Fundestic. Christine, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you on the show. I'm Joyce Goh for The Breakfast Grill on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile for unlimited experiences. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.